"Come to me, all ye who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditations of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Surely this is one of the most well-known and best-loved passages in all the Bible, featuring the gentle invitation and wonderful promise of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Throughout the centuries, these words have served to uplift mankind with the blessings of divine encouragement, comfort, and assurance. Even today, as we read and reflect upon this gracious invitation and the enduring promise of our Lord, we cannot fail to be encouraged, comforted, and assured that our faith is secure in him. "Come to me," is the gracious invitation, "and I will give you rest," the enduring promise. If, however, we look a little deeper into this invitation and promise, several questions come to mind. Who, for example, are those who are weary and burdened? Why are they weary? And with what weight are they burdened? Furthermore, in his promise, why would a follower's relationship with Jesus be described as a yoke? And how can a yoke be easy and a burden light? Let us start our examination by firstly considering the succinct, yet open and unequivocal invitation: "Come to me." The legitimacy of Christ's invitation, extended to all who respond and come to him, is founded on the dominion which he exercises, the mysteries of divine grace he extends, and the knowledge which he alone is able to impart. Just prior to the invitation that begins in verse 28, we see certain essential credentials of Christ being established. In verse 27, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." In the invitation, Jesus is asking sinners to respond to this revelation of his dominion and knowledge, that the Father has delivered into his hand all things, that being the power, the authority, and judgment. Looking back further to verse 25, we find that even though all may come, all do not or will not. The little children, those lacking everything and realizing their emptiness, were willing to receive the truth concerning Christ. But the wise and the prudent, the religious leaders, who had filled with their own wisdom and learned ideas, were not. Furthermore, it's interesting to note the number of times the pronoun me or my is used in Christ's invitation. In this can be seen an emphasis upon the fact that it is only Jesus who maintains a relationship with the Father that can produce such eternal blessings for those who follow him. Only to Christ have all things been delivered, and only through the Son can one hope to know the Father. Thus it is to Christ and only to Christ that we must come. Come to me. Our second point for examination concerns the subjects of the invitation. All ye who are weary or labored in the earlier versions, and burdened or heavy laden. Who were those who were weary and burdened? They were many and all who had been engaging in a struggle, in an effort to find the truth. They discovered, however, the task was impossible, and they had been driven to weariness and despair in their vain search. They were physically, mentally, and spiritually exhausted. Whilst the words are wide enough to encompass every form of human sin and suffering, the burdens most grievous to be borne at that time were experienced through the many traditions and ordinances which were imposed on the consciences of men and women. This would have included the Greeks of Christ's day, who believed it was difficult to find God and then impossible to tell anyone else about him. It would also have included the Jews, whose religion was a thing of endless rules and burdens. It's worthwhile noting there are 613 commandments or mitzvot bound into the Torah, 248 positive commandments, that is do's, 365 negative commandments or don'ts. And with an additional 7 rabbinic laws added, there are 620 commandments. You see, Judaism is not just a set of beliefs. It defines a comprehensive way of life, filled with endless rules and practices that affect every aspect of daily living. What do you do when you wake up in the morning? What you can and cannot eat? What you can and cannot wear? How to groom yourself and conduct business? Who you can marry and how to observe holidays and the Sabbath? And perhaps most importantly, how to treat God, other people, and animals. A veritable forest of regulations concerning every conceivable action, and difficult for any adherent of the law to see the wood for the trees. So what about the Pharisees? During the time of Christ, the Pharisees burdened people by loading them down with whatever they saw necessary for obedience, and then adding insult to injury, confused and exasperated the multitudes as they themselves lived up to the much easier standard of saying but not doing. For instance, instead of not keeping the Sabbath, which made provision for rest and the hearing of God's word, they instead made up their own regulations. For example, the number of steps you were permitted to take on a Sabbath day's journey. So the Pharisees deluded themselves, thinking by keeping such ill-conceived laws, they would be seen as being wholly religious. In our first reading from Acts 15, verse 10, read by Ken, Peter asked a group of Pharisees, "Why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear?" And Jesus himself comments in Matthew 23, verse 4, "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders." The terms, however, really apply to all peoples. Mankind generally has labored and become heavy laden in the search for the truth. Burdened by our anxieties, our fears, our temptations, our loneliness, our failures, and our sins, we continue to struggle by actively doing the wrong things or sins of commission, combined with a failure to do the right things or acts of omission. This ensuing battle between our new self and the need to obey God and the old Adam within us, who cares only for self, weighs heavily upon our conscience. This too is the labor and the heavy burden that Jesus is referring to. Jesus, in keeping with the Father's plan of salvation, proclaims himself to be the only true revelation of God and the exclusive path to him. He declares to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Finally, the burden of seeking but being able to find the eternal truth of salvation has been lifted, for we find it through Jesus Christ. Truly, the burden of obedience has been made considerably lighter by knowing in whom we have believed, Christ Jesus, in 2 Timothy 1:12. Jesus Christ is the only one strong enough to carry the load, that is the weight of the law and our failure to comply with it. Only he was able to keep God's laws perfectly in our place. The sinless Son of God did the unimaginable. He died the death of a sinner, hanging on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, mocked by men, and abandoned by God. That was a heavy load to bear. There can be nothing heavier. But, brothers and sisters in Christ, the heavy weight of our sins have been lifted, just as sure as the heavy stone was rolled away from the tomb on that Easter morning. Sin is forgiven. Death is destroyed. Jesus has lifted these burdens from us. In the church hymnary, CH4, hymn 547, we are reminded, "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Jesus is our only refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Jesus indeed is our assurance and our true refuge. So what was Christ's resolution to all these issues? "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus now speaks of his yoke and his burden, describing them as being easy and light. But how could following Jesus be considered easy? After all, he'd previously intimated that the Christian, anyone who followed him, had to be prepared to leave behind his or her family, the comforts of home and their possessions, even their own life. Quite a commitment. But in response, Christ offers ease and joy, rest and refreshment, gentleness and warmth to all who turn to him, as an alternative to the weighty burdens of whatever troubles them, be it moral, spiritual, physical, emotional, or financial. It is only through Christ that our search for and obedience to the truth produces the desired result of salvation. The burden, however, has not been completely lifted. Even though Jesus equates the Christian life with spiritual rest, he still proclaims that we must wear a yoke and bear a burden. In biblical times, a yoke was often seen as an emblem of oppression, possibly even of slavery. The Jews used the term yoke for entering into submission of something. They spoke of the yoke of the law, the yoke of the Torah, the yoke of the commandments, the yoke of the kingdom, the yoke of God. The imagery of a yoke in Matthew 11, 28, 30, however, is borrowed from agriculture, and in particular the ploughing of the fields by oxen, and is presented here as an aid in our spiritual struggle rather than a hindrance. The yoke of Christ is our fellowship with him. It is a yoke that is lined by love. And like the yoke that couples oxen together, The yoke of Christ neither hinders our efforts nor causes us to struggle or stray far from the directed path. What it does is make the work of obedience both manageable and realistically achievable. Thus, it is a blessing. A blessing expressed in the last hymn we sang this morning. My hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Saviour has my treasure, and he will walk with me. According to William Barclay, oxen yokes were customarily made to fit a particular animal. They were, in effect, tailor-made. The idea being the yoke of Christ fits well and will not be a burden to those who wear it. In the New Testament in Scots, the terminology employed in our featured passage succinctly and graphically expresses the pain associated with such ill-fitting yokes and heavy burdens. Come ye to me, I ye to seer verfochen and ladent, and I will give ye easedom and rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn frae me, for I am douce and humble of heart. And wi' me ye find easedom and rest to your souls. For my yoke, it goes na the craig, and my burn, it boos na the back. What wonderfully expressive terms, in particular, gosna. Gnaws, or gnawing. It's indicative of rubbing, tearing, bleeding. The pain suffered on the shoulders under heavy, burdensome loads. I'm sure we have at all time endured this type of pain and may even still carry the scars. Similarly, boozna. Christ's yoke doesn't bend or break the back through crippling pressure, like the breaking or snapping of a twig or branch. But these pale into insignificance in contrast to the ultimate pain endured by Christ on the cross, the rubbing of broken skin on rough, unfinished wood, the tearing of flesh and the breaking of bone as the iron nails were hammered through his hands and his feet, and the bleeding inflicted by the crown of thorns and the wound in his pierced side. Whatever God gives us to do in the way of burdens or obedience, it is designed to fit our own unique spiritual needs and abilities exactly. Truly, the yoke of Jesus is easy, not of great weight. It enables us to do much in the service of the kingdom. No one ever demanded a higher standard of his disciples than Jesus. Consider, for example, the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus has done more than set a high standard. He helps us to meet that standard. He helps us to carry the burden. He shares the load of obedience that he places upon us. An extract from a poem, A Friend in Jesus by Dwayne Bailey. Do the burdens that you carry seem too great to bear? Do you feel so all alone, like no one really cares? Just turn to Jesus Christ in honest, heartfelt prayer. For the burdens in life you carry, he will surely share. Even though the Christian life is not easy, it is possible. It is, in fact, pleasant. Our burden is light. The yoke of Christ is easy. Our Lord is gentle and lowly in heart and provides rest for our souls. On the other hand, those who spurn Christ's yoke have only dismay and despair in dealing with the search for truth and spiritual rest. In his book, The Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan tells the story of a Christian on a journey, carrying a large bundle on his shoulders. He arrives at a place somewhat elevated above the rest of the land. On that hill, there stands a cross, and below the hill lies an open grave. As the man approaches the foot of the cross with his heavy, burdensome load, it is suddenly released from his shoulders. It drops to the ground, rolls down the hill, and disappears into the empty tomb. This is a graphic illustration of what Christ has done for us. We all labor along in life, carrying our own unique personal burdens. Through faith, the cross appears before our prayerful eyes. We surrender our burdens, and they roll away. This was the simple but stark imagery of the children's address this morning. What relief, what rest for our weary souls. As St. Augustine once prayed to God, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee." Jesus Christ, our Saviour, gives us such rest, an absolution from our burdens. In a moment of silence, let us seek this rest in Christ as we bring before God our personal burdens, those things which weigh heavily on our hearts and impede our spiritual journey, and place them at the foot of the cross. Come to me, all ye who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We now have this rest and peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. Let us pray. Lord, place on each and every one of us today the yoke of salvation, that we may easily walk with you throughout the rest of our days on earth. Amen.